Welcome to The Apartment Guys, where we dive deep into all things multifamily investing. Our mission is to educate, inspire, and empower real estate investors to reach their highest potential. Each week, host Tate Seymour interviews high-level guests from all over the industry who are sure to bring valuable, actionable ideas that will propel your career to the next level. Whether you're just starting out or a seasoned investor, you are in the right place. And now your host, the apartment guy, Tate Seymour.
Great. Well, welcome back to another episode of the Apartment Guys podcast. This is Tate Seymour. I'm thrilled to be back on another episode with the apartment guy these days, flying solo. And I'm really excited today to have a rock star in the multifamily syndication space. Monique Haum is an educator and an advocate for women, and she creates passive income stream through real estate investing. Her mission, which is super inspiring to me, is to assist 1 million women to achieve financial freedom through real estate. She is the founder of the Real Estate Investor Goddesses and is herself a real estate investor and syndicator with over 15 years of real estate investing experience in multifamily, industrial, mobile home, and RV parks, flipping, vacation rentals, and ground up development as well. If there's anything that you haven't done, that's quite a list. One or two things. Okay. Well, Flex Industrial wasn't on the list, right? That's maybe your next horizon. Yeah. So together with her husband and her investors, she owns over 1,300 rental units across 7 states. She's the number one best-selling author of the Real Estate Investor Goddess Handbook, Wealth for Women, Conversations with the Team That Creates the Dream, and Investing in Real Estate from $1 to $1 million. She is the host of the Real Estate Investor Goddesses podcast, and she's also a real estate strategy mentor, keynote speaker, recovering attorney, certified interior designer, feng shui expert, love that, avid world traveler, and wife and mother of 3 amazing kids. Monique, you have a fascinating story and a fascinating life, and the things that you've been able to do and build are so remarkable and inspiring. And I think as I've gotten to know you and your story a little bit and kind of know what you're committed to creating in the world, more than anything, I just feel like you just kind of make me happy to listen to, I guess.
Kind of
where you come from and what's important to you in terms of bringing other people along with you for the ride and making sure that other people around you are successful. So thank you so much for being here. We totally appreciate it. And yeah, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. Yeah, you bet. So let's start with your mission. Like I said, I love the mission statement that you have to help 1 million women achieve financial freedom through real estate investing. Talk a little bit about that. Where did that come from? Is that kind of rooted in your history as a real estate investor? How did that all come to develop for you?
It's funny. It came as a divine download. When I went to one of my first real estate conferences. So I'd been investing in real estate for 10 years, but in a much smaller way. Just had done flipping, and we had a couple duplexes and single family rental. I hadn't really ever gone to any conference, and I stumbled and bumbled my way through, kind of figuring things out as I went along. And when I found out about syndication, I went to my first syndication seminar. I remember this was in January of 2016. The real estate guys are doing a syndication seminar. And I went there, and it was a Friday and a Saturday. And Saturday night, there was a social event. So we stayed over in the hotel that night. And Sunday morning, I was in the hotel gym on the elliptical, just processing the weekend. And I was thinking about something they kept saying, you know, you want to really think about who do you want to work with, build your brand, build your network, who do you want to work with? And I was also thinking about the room, and there were, at the time, there were 100 about 120 people that attended the event, maybe 8 women were in the room. I think 2 of those were working in the back. So there were just very, very few women. There were almost no women there. Then I ended up joining this high-end real estate mastermind. I was the only woman with 19 men. And there were so few women that I was seeing in this game. Yeah. And you mentioned earlier that I was a recovering attorney. And right. So I'd stopped practicing law around 2009. But I was flipping, doing real estate, and I was coaching on the side. In fact, I became a money and abundance coach for women. So I was already working with women around the areas of money. And it all came together on that elliptical machine, just to bring women into that room and this mission of helping 1 million women create financial freedom. So I was thinking, like, wow, this is how financial freedom is created. This is how wealth is created in this world, is through real estate and being able to do things like this. But no women are here. No one's talking to women about this. And that the mission came to me, not the how. I have no idea about the how. Mm-hmm. I'm still figuring out the how. Right. We're little by little, we're getting there. But the what of it came, and it just felt right. I got the goosebumps, and it's like, oh, yeah, I'd love to do that. And I went and I searched, and there was virtually nothing for women in real estate at the time. And so Real Estate Investor Goddesses was born, and I've just been bumbling along trying to do it, you know, being guided next step by next step. And that's how the mission came to be.
That's an awesome story. That's so cool. I never heard that. I've heard you on other podcasts and in Zoom meetings, and I never heard that kind of that moment of clarity for you. Those are watershed moments in our lives, I think.
Yeah, it was.
Nice. Good for you. And so you're after it. You're on your mission. Before we get into kind of talking about all your ninja skills and techniques around raising capital, I think it would be interesting to our listeners to hear a little bit about, you have an extensive background in single family. I think it'd be fascinating to hear from your perspective, now that you're in multifamily, you own 1,500 doors. Why not single family?
Well, I have about 900 multifamily doors. And okay. Actually, I do have a portfolio of single family homes too. We have about 44 single family homes. So okay. I'm not opposed to single family.
Right.
But our single family homes are, we have a separate turnkey business. So we're getting single family homes, putting in tenants, fixing them up, reselling them to investors. Yeah. And for, you know, I don't believe that one size fits all when it comes to real estate investing. And I also really believe in diversification. So this is partly why I have all these, you were mentioning so many different asset classes that I'm in, and different markets, right, and different states. And, you know, especially as we're in this really crazy economic time, I'm very soothed by the fact that certain of my asset classes and certain of my investments are doing really well, while others are, you know, struggling a bit more. But I do love multifamily generally, well, more than single family. There are some advantages to single family, but the nice thing about multifamily is leverage.
Yeah.
Right. It's not with a single family with income, it's all or nothing. With multifamily, you're always expecting a certain amount of vacancy, and you're still chugging along. And especially with the larger multifamily, you can take advantage of the economies of scale, and you tend to have better teams that you can work with. And there are a lot of things that make multifamily a great investment.
Yeah.
Why I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. And your multifamily, that portion of your portfolio has come to fruition here a little later in your real estate career. Is that correct?
Yeah. I started in multifamily, well, you know, large multifamily, more than like a duplex, in 2016.
So it's about a 4-year journey for you, and you've had a lot of success. So I think, you know, the story about you breaking into single family and house hacking your first duplex and whatnot is a cool story. But I think in the interest of like kind of most of our listeners here are really interested, I think, in either how to break in, you know, so I'd love to hear your story about the mentorships that you worked under, worked with, and then of course the other part of our listening base is kind of how to get to the next level. But as far as breaking in, so kind of paint the picture. You've been investing in single families for a while. You've got a turnkey business going with that. You've had a fair amount of success with that.
No, the turnkey business was later, but we were flipping mostly at that time before we got, so like 2010 to 2015, we were flipping when houses were on sale. And then we come into 2016 and we discover syndication and leveraging. Up until then, I've always invested just with our own capital and credit. Never realized that there was this other way.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Leverage is so exciting when you get your head around the power that it gives you to take down wonderful assets that cash flow and hopefully appreciate over time and build wealth, like you said earlier. So what was the reason, I guess, for the change in mindset and the change of what you saw as being possible for you?
It really happened in one 10-minute conversation. So up until then, like I said, I'd been flipping. And so we started flipping when houses were on sale. And it was a pretty good time to flip. And this was in Los Angeles where I live. Around 2015, not so on sale, very competitive, a lot more challenging. And the thing about flipping is it's basically a short-term job. You do it, hopefully you get some money out of it, then you have to start over again. And it was feeling really frustrating. So we started to look for something to buy and hold, again in Los Angeles. And we're looking for a fourplex because at the time that was the largest thing I could imagine. And nothing cash flowed, no sense. And I was talking to a friend of mine who just sharing my frustrations with real estate. And he said, you know, my friend Robert Helms is Real Estate Guy Radio. He's the host of Real Estate Guys Radio podcast. He's done hundreds of millions of dollars worth of real estate investing. He's coming to LA tomorrow night. He's doing this event, and speak at an event that my friend was putting on. He said, you should come and meet him. And I was like, sure. I'm sure he knows something. So I went and so I was talking to Robert 10 minutes. He changed everything. So the first thing he was asking what I was doing, telling him about the flipping and how frustrating that was and looking for the fourplex. And he said, you know, LA is a tough market. I always say live where you want to live, invest where the numbers make sense. And I went, oh, until he said that, I never thought that you could invest outside of where you could drive to your property, touch it, self-manage it. It just hadn't crossed my mind that that was possible. And LA is so expensive that was very limiting because, you know, the thing I had to stay in my own neighborhood, in my own backyard, because it's crazy expensive. So that literally opened up the world. And just that, just being able to put my money towards, you know, in other markets even without the next thing he said would have greatly allowed us to scale. But the next thing he said was, and you can buy this fourplex by yourself, but you're limited to your own capital and credit. So alternatively, you could bring a group of investors together and you could buy a 100 or 200 unit building. And he started telling me about the benefits of that. My mind, I think, exploded. I was like, what? Until he said, I had no idea that was a thing. I literally thought you had to be a billionaire. I thought you needed to be like Donald Trump, have Donald Trump's bank account to do that kind of thing. It did not cross my mind that that was possible until he said it. And so that's the amazing thing about these like paradigm shifts when you learn what is possible for you. And I went, oh my God, like I want to do that. Cause I was We had capital. We had some money sitting in the bank, but credit was really challenging because we were both self-employed at this time. And when you don't have a W-2, very hard to get, you know, to get a loan for real estate. Or I didn't know what I didn't know. I was only thinking conventional. So I hadn't really even known about hard money or private money or any of that stuff yet. So all I knew was investing in your backyard, getting a conventional mortgage, like conventional loan, 1 to 4 units. That was it. Or paying all cash, because that's what we were doing. We were paying all cash for our properties in LA. Because I didn't know how to get financing. Right. And so literally that just opened us up so much. And I was like, yes, I want to do that. Like, again, it was one of those things where everything in me was like, yes. And I got like goosebumps. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm doing this. And I wanted to be around people that thought that 200 units was normal. Because until then, everyone in my life thought fourplex was a big deal. Mm-hmm. And so to be, I want to be around people who think like that's normal.
Yeah. That's key. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah. I think it's so important that you recognize that moment, that 10-minute conversation where your mindset went from like, we can do fourplexes, duplexes, use our own capital, to we can take down 200 unit apartment communities with the same, I mean, you tell me, but largely, arguably the same sort of amount of effort and coordination with other investors. And we'll get into raising capital here in a second, but yeah, that's super powerful stuff.
Yeah, so certainly not 200 times harder. That's for sure.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
it's not harder. Maybe, and in certain ways it's easier.
Right. So, and one of those ways is actually that raising capital mm-hmm. in larger amounts can be quite easier than raising capital $25,000 or $50,000 at a time. You've got, you know, bigger institutional type money that won't even look at deals that where they're not writing a $5 million check. And not that that's necessarily our wheelhouse in the 150 to 300 unit range, but nonetheless, yeah, it's, and we talk so much on this podcast about the whys of multifamily and the scalability and the leverage that you referred to, the tax benefits that we won't get into, but are so massive. Yeah. So you've been just massively successful in the raising capital role. Do you still see yourself as an operational partner in your deals? Or are you primarily raising capital? How are you working that?
I'm primarily on the fundraising side, which yep. is my strength and my favorite place to play. So we partner with others that will do more of the operations and, I just focus on raising money, in the investment side. Yeah.
Gotcha. So you've really simplified your work set, your workflow, so to speak, in that you're not out deal finding, you're not underwriting, you're not asset managing, you're focused solely on raising capital. Is that correct?
I have some of those other functions. So, okay. Some of our deals, we're doing some asset management, but mostly those take place. People on my team are doing that, and okay. my job though is more, working with the investors.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. You mentioned your team. You mind sharing with us what your team's like? How you have your team structured?
Sure. So main team member is my husband and he's nice. More on the deal side and doing the due diligence. And then we have some team members that help us managing the investors. We have a couple assistants that work with us on that. So mm-hmm. Peter's more on the due diligence and he's more behind the scenes, and I'm in the front, and I'm the one that has most of the conversations with investors.
Cool.
At least on the front end.
Cool.
Relationship.
Yeah. I'd love to talk to you sometime, another time, about how your mechanics, as far as your landing page and how you put your CRM together with your automated mail. I know you're really, really good at that stuff, and I've heard you talk about it elsewhere, but okay. So focus primarily on raising capital. Can you share with the listeners maybe what you found to be the most important aspect of working with investors as you're talking to them, maybe for the first time, and are, you know, talking a little bit about what opportunities you can offer them and whatnot. Can you share with us a little bit about how that goes?
Sure. Typically? So the main thing that's helped me to scale and leverage so quickly is that I have built a platform. I've focused on putting content out there and attracting investors to me rather than going after investors, which is, I find, a lot easier. So instead of having to dial for dollars or go one for one after people, I put things out there and then people go to my website, they apply for the investor club.
Right.
They fill out a questionnaire that leads them to a phone conversation with me. We have a conversation. And then as we have opportunities, we put it out there. And then there's a large list of people who have access to it. And then we'll raise their hands and say, you know, I'm in. Because of it, you know, people, investors are searching me out versus vice versa. I think that's the main thing that I've been able to do that's really helped me to raise money. And so that's the first thing.
And then can I ask you a quick question in there?
Yeah, sure.
So what you just outlined is that you've become a really well-positioned thought leader in the industry, and that's through you're the author, as we mentioned on the in your bio on the intro, you're the author of two very successful real estate books specifically for women. And you're the host of a podcast, you're a frequent podcast guest, you're a frequent speaker, frequent panel member, et cetera, et cetera. And what I hear you saying, if I'm not mistaken, is that you would attribute really like the secret sauce of your capital raising to that thought leadership sort of activity that you've done?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And putting it out there. And also, you know, in my case, I went after a portion of the population that people were not speaking to at the time. So, you know, especially when I began, there, little by little, more and more are coming in, though I'm very happy about that because we're 50% of the population. I can't help them by myself. So I don't mind, like, I'm not like thinking competitively, but when I started, it was a very blue ocean and it's still relatively blue. Sure. And so because I'm speaking to women, and then a lot of women of color are in particular attracted to me because I am of color. So a lot of populations that are, you know, that we're not like, no one was talking to about this or going, wow, this is, I didn't like, but until Robert Helm spoke to me about it, I'd never heard of syndication. I didn't know that was existed. And so I'm trying to do the same thing for all these women out there who don't even know this is possible. They have the money, they could invest. They would love to have their money working for them in real estate, having the tax benefits and all of the, you know, the wonderful things that come with, you know, being a past investor in a syndication. Especially for busy professional women who like can now have to homeschool and do all this stuff, right? Like it's hard. And they'd love to do it. They just didn't even know it was possible. So my focus has been on spreading the word, letting them know it's possible, and then showing, you know, and then inviting them in. Like, here's this club. Like, I want you to have access to these opportunities. And you need to have a pre-existing relationship, Oh my gosh, too much politics. Anyway, pre-existing relationship exactly. with people, right? So it's like, let's get into a relationship and I just want to support you. And I think a lot of them feel my heart to help. And so they come in and they're like, yeah, I didn't know this was a thing and I want to know more and I want to get into it. So that's how I've been attracting people. And then the other side of that though is that it's really important because people are coming in and they're putting trust in me. It's really important that I be worthy of that trust, right?
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
Everything, you know, in terms of what I do, I'm always thinking about how to do it with like the most integrity and honesty and the best outcomes for my investors, because I, you know, the better their experiences and their, you know, that it kind of, it will, you know, it kind of it makes it a lot easier, right? So if they've had a great experience, then A, they want to continue to invest, which is a lot easier to get somebody to invest again and again and again than it is to get new people.
Right.
And then also they'll tell their friends, hey, there's this thing, it's syndication. It's awesome. I've had this great experience working, you know, with Molly Calm and her team, and like, here, you can join it too. And so that is also a way to, that it's grown through referrals and word of mouth. And so that's, you know, those are the things that I focus on, A, like getting them in. And then once they're in, like treating them so well that they want to stay. And I have a relationships for life philosophy, because I want, you know, I want us to work, you know, I want people to work together. I want us to work together for our whole lives. Yeah, and not even, not just that, but I really think of the women in my community as sisters. It's a sisterhood that we have. And so I, you know, I'm showing up like, this is, I'm going to treat this woman as like, she's my sister, my family, all my investors are part of this, like my family. So that's how I show up for that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I mean, if I think for a listener, if would be smart to back this up like 10 minutes and listen to everything that Monique just went through, because it's really textbook how to start and lead with creating value for other people. And you did it so smart in that you picked a niche, you picked a big niche, but it's a niche nonetheless. And and it wasn't such a big niche really, especially when you got started there, like you said, that you go to any real estate event, even 2 years ago or even a year ago. And sometimes even now there's so few women in the room, and I don't like that either. We, you know, we actually we're called the investor guys here, but we've had, I think, more women guests on than men at this point, or at least very close. And I love that you've been able to create kind of your tribe. I think that's done in the value that you create for people on the educational level, on the inspirational level, you know, through coaching and guidance in those areas. And that basically led to capital raising kind of just almost naturally as a byproduct really of the value structure that you offer with educating people on how to do it. And then also offering them a nice, clear avenue to do it with somebody that they can trust, and somebody that has a proven track record and knows what they're doing. And it just would make so much sense from an investor standpoint to do that. So listeners, like I said, seriously, listen to this again or take note, because Monique really just outlined, like I said, I've sat through many seminars and taken many courses and series of courses and on thought leadership platforms and podcasting in particular. And one of the reasons why people start podcasts is to gain credibility in the industry, to gain visibility in the industry. Of course, these are kind of obvious, but you've done it so well, and I love how you, how specific you really are to basically just like, hey, we do women here. Like, I think that's super cool.
Yeah. A lot of guys that, I mean, we have plenty of male investors, but on the education side, we'll get hit up by men pretty frequently. Like, I'd love to, you know, is your class open to,
right,
to men, or do you mentor men? And I'm like, no, I'm so sorry. I go, there are a lot of other people that were, you know, other places you'll go, you'll feel so at home because 90% of the room will be men just like you. So
exactly. Like 90% yeah. of the educators out there are men and,
yeah.
and whatnot. So I think you offer an incredible service to probably just a huge diversity, different types of women coming from lots of different backgrounds and different yeah. business backgrounds. And I'm sure that it sounds like you're taking really great care of them. And maybe share with us a little bit about how you talked about how you take such good care of them that they want to come back. They want to stay on board with you. What do you do in the way of special things, communications, reports, that sort of stuff for your investors?
So for the investors, we just focus on communicating as much as possible, normally monthly. We send out monthly reports, try to do quarterly financials. And we, when there's bad news, we share it quickly.
Yeah.
So I think that's, you know, giving bad news engenders trust. A lot of people are like, oh, if I have bad news, like, I don't want to tell anybody because they're not going to trust me, or they're going to feel, you know, it's like, it's actually the opposite. If you just are honest, I mean, not in a, the sky's falling, it's horrible, everything's bad, but this is what happened. This is what we're doing to fix it. This is how we're working on a solution. This is what we're, you know, just showing up, you know, with a solution mindset, but being honest about what's going on and being really transparent, I think that helps build trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. You seem like somebody that is just a naturally trustable person. You've kind of got not only an air of integrity about you, but you've also got now a stout track record of success. And like you said, when things don't go well, being real, you know, and being authentic and like, hey, we're doing the very best we can here to avoid stuff like this. And unfortunately it happens.
Happens. But I also, when it does happen, I work our hardest to fix it. Right. It's not like, oh, that's bad. Oops. Right. It's just like, right. You're like, no, you gotta fix it. As much as you can. Right. There's a global pandemic. Stuff happens, right? You can't, not everything's in your control, but the things that are in your control, you do the best you can for your investors and, you know, put them first.
Yeah, totally. So on, let's just take a real quick detour down the COVID road for a second. You obviously have a very nice portfolio. What are you seeing in terms of adjustments in your tenant base and collections and rent roll and that sort of thing?
Our B class multifamily has been really good. It's barely really been touched. So that's, you know, knock on wood, pretty, it's we're doing okay there. Our single family portfolio actually is a lot of C class, and that's not so good. I think a lot with our C class that they've taken eviction moratorium to mean rent moratorium.
Right.
And that's not, but that's how they've treated it. Not great. So it's been, with our C class, been a lot harder to collect rent, and that rent collection's gotten out a lot in that area. But our B class is fine in terms of, so we're just talking mostly multifamily, but our industrial, we have some office parks. So we had some, like, six office parks in Houston with 109 tenants, many of which are small and medium-sized businesses. So that one, a lot of those businesses are suffering. The rent collections are down 40% there.
Oh, wow.
Some of our other, we're working with them and helping them get PPP money and stuff like that. So we're kind of surviving, but that one went down a lot. You know, it's been tough for small businesses. Our larger industrial does great.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how it seems to me like B class is probably pretty well positioned right now because you've got compression coming from the top with people that need to downgrade from their A class stuff.
Yeah, people will lose homes and they'll probably move into B class multifamily.
Absolutely.
And start renting. Right. So I think that's a really strong asset class to be in right now.
Yeah. Yeah, so we primarily are C minus investors and bring properties up to like C plus, B minus type levels. You know, we bring them up as far as we can. Often the asset itself prevents it from jumping from a C to a B, but right. But
how's your rent collection been?
Well, actually pretty good. I'd say I think we're looking at maybe 20% or so down, which I mean, when you say that's pretty good, that's terrible. But given the circumstances right now and unfortunately, given the tenant base, one of the properties we were working with, we just acquired and we haven't had a chance to really work with the tenant base yet in terms of, you know, getting them to a point that the place is filled with people that are paying rent. And so unfortunately we're kind of already at a kind of a tipping point with that anyway, with the current tenant base, but we're in Utah, we're kind of an isolated market out here and that's largely where we're working. And so there is such a strong supply and demand component to our market that it really supports like, you know, 5.5 cap type purchases, because you can find places that need $200-$250 a month rent bumps. And, you know, obviously when you increase rent that by that much, you run it through a 5.25 cap or whatever, even a 5 cap or sub 5 cap, that's a lot of wealth that you're building, you know. Yeah. Just by raising rents a few hundred bucks. So anyway, to answer your question, I don't think we really know yet, you know,
we're not out of it yet. So yeah.
The CDC moratorium just went into effect within the last couple of days, I think. And
yeah,
I think that's through January, if I'm not mistaken.
Through the end of December 31st. So yeah, it's, yeah. So for all the people who think eviction moratorium equals rent moratorium,
right,
and they've gotten 4 more free months of rent. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not fun for landlords.
Yeah. Not fun at all. All right. So maybe let's go back to something a little more fun.
It works out in the wash, but it's just, you know, that is part of the game, and it's important though that you're properly capitalized. And
yeah,
you
know, this is as significant a black swan event, I think, as we could anticipate without the wheels just completely falling off.
Nobody could have guessed this.
So I think totally. And yeah. if you're well enough capitalized and you have a good enough performing asset, you know, you're going to make it through this. And if you, one of those two things is missing, it could get a little bit rough. And so on the acquisition side, we are really looking at the next 6 months as hopefully being ripe with opportunity for, you know, people being able to help people that are in distressed situations.
Yeah. And a lot of people did not buy right the past couple years, so being way too optimistic, and I think there will be opportunities coming up.
What markets are you primarily in terms of your residential multifamily?
We're currently only in Atlanta right now.
Okay.
With our multifamily.
Okay, gotcha.
And it's been very strong.
Yeah, that's a great market. Great market. Are you looking to primarily stay in there? And is it kind of like a, if it ain't broke, why fix it sort of thing?
Yeah, partly. And it's partly our partners. So our partners will bring opportunities to us. That's where we've had opportunities coming in that made sense recently. But gotcha. We're open to other markets.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we're starting to run out of time a little bit. I wanted to ask you a few questions, maybe on a little more personal basis or personal level. You had mentioned Robert Helms as a mentor. Sounds like he was just super instrumental in your life. Who else in the way of like role models have inspired you either in the industry or just in business in general?
Well, I had an apartment mentor, Brad Simrock. So I was in his group for a couple of years, and it was really helpful. You know, one of my favorite people in the world is actually Robert Helms' father, Bob Helms. He passed away a couple months ago.
Yeah,
which is heartbreaking. But he was a broker, and he was. I think he invested in 7 decades. He was pretty amazing. Wow. And super generous amazing. And really helpful. And, you know, he really helped us, especially in our first few deals, work through numbers and do, you know, there are LOIs and things like that. So he was a wonderful mentor. I was so grateful to have him and to have known him. Beautiful person. You know, there are other mentors as so I met through the real estate guys world. Beth Clifford, she's been in development and in hotels. And I learned a lot from her. I think one thing you said you might ask me about is the 3 C's. I learned that from her. And a lot of the things that I learned that really made such a difference. Like that 3 C's was really game changing for me.
All right. So let's hear that. We gotta hear the 3 C's real quick. You mind?
Yeah. So that's who do you, it's a formula for figuring out or a strategy for figuring out who to work with. And, you know, whether it's a team member or employee, and it's brilliant. And when I started implementing it, it was really game changing. So the first C has to do with character and, you know, just is somebody of integrity. How do they treat people around them? Are they, you know, what kind of character do they have? And that's the one thing you cannot teach, you cannot change. And when somebody shows you who they are, believe them. So character is like the first thing. Then commitment. So, and that's in a couple of different ways. So one is a commitment to the mission, vision, values that you have. So one of my values my commitments is to only invest in properties where we can leave the property and the community better than we found it. It's not about being a slumlord. It's not about getting every dollar out of a deal. And so it's important to me to work with people who share that commitment.
Yeah.
Or the commitment to relationships for life. But then also they need to be committed to that project. And if they make a commitment to do it, they need to be there when they say they'll be there and do it when they say they'll do it. You know, you can't have a contractor that you hire, but he has 7 other things that he's working on and isn't really there for you and what you need him to be doing. So they need to have that commitment to your project and to your mission, vision, and values. And then lastly, is the capacity. So how are they able to do the job that you're hiring them for? So depending on what it is, certain people, they just have the capacity to learn, then you can hire them in and you can teach them. And if that's not as important, maybe it's having the character and the commitment. However, I have also learned from Beth that you work with the best. They won't cost you money. They'll make you money. So I am not about doing DIY. Unless I'm the best at something, then I should not be doing it. And so I'd much rather hire somebody.
Can't agree with that philosophy more. I think that's brilliant. Totally.
Yeah, that's lost a lot of money and time not doing that. And then also, you know, working with the cheapest, thinking, oh, well, it's like the dollars and cents thing. So if I hire the cheapest person, then that will be better, obviously, than this more expensive person. Right. But, and it's not necessarily that the cheapest is, you know, or the most expensive is the best. It doesn't have to be about the most expensive, but it has to be about the best. So working with somebody who knows what they're doing, you know, is like an A player, they will they have shortcuts, they know people, they may, you know, they like, they end up really adding value beyond, I find, beyond just doing the thing. And then, but when they do the thing right, and they do the thing right the first time, which saves you time. And I have found ultimately money in the end.
Absolutely. Well, time is money for sure. And if you're, I heard you talking on another podcast about hiring the cheapest contractor versus, hopefully hiring the best contractor. The cost benefit analysis there is a no brainer. And coming from the single family world myself, you get kicked in the face over and over and over again when you go with the cheapest bid, usually. So
yeah, with people that weren't the most expensive, but were good. So it's not that they're the most expensive, but definitely don't just go with the cheapest. I make that mistake.
Yeah. Absolutely. I love you just kind of mentioned it real quickly, but your mission, vision, values. I think that's such a tight little set of concepts and kind of guiding elements to a business that I'm going to put in place. We have a mission statement. In this business, I don't have a vision statement. We have a culture. We have like a culture guideline family. We call it family culture statement, I guess, which is kind of like values, but I love that mission, vision, values. I think that's super powerful. And then of course the three C's that you mentioned, character, commitment, and capacity. And it seems to me, whether you're looking at somebody to hire or a sub or really anybody, a lender, any investor, even anybody that you're looking to do business with, you can apply that to just about anybody and have that be super powerful. Awesome. So real quick, do you do much in the way of like daily practices that are business related, rituals that are even not business related, but that you feel are catalyzing to your success?
I definitely have, morning rituals. So I wake up, I drink my lemon water, and then I go, I meditate and I pray, and I will do reading and journaling, and maybe this is TMI, but I have like a central practice with my husband, and we have like a manifesting practice with orgasms, which is probably too much for your show, but it's nice. Very powerful.
Not too much for the show. It's all good.
We talk about that in my events, like that's a part of your feminine power. But that is part of my daily ritual, and we're both very happy with that. And then I have like breath work, and then I work out. So that's all part of my morning ritual.
Yeah, that's a stout morning ritual. I can see why you've had a lot of success with that. Seriously, that's awesome.
Yeah.
In lots of different ways. That's totally awesome. All right. One last question for you. What does it mean to you to be a goddess?
Well, for me, I've made real estate investor goddesses plural for a reason, because I believe that we all have at least a drop of the divine within us. And having that goddess is just this reminder of that divine magic that we have within us and our ability to create the life that we want. And so that's where the name came from, the investor goddesses. And then I've also studied the divine feminine for a long time. For 16 years, I've been studying it, and I incorporate that in what we do. It's not just how do we invest in real estate, but how do we invest it in the feminine? So all of that is embodied in the term goddess.
That's super cool. I'm a student of the divine masculine and divine feminine, all the relationship there.
Powerful. And
it is super powerful stuff when you start to, that's obviously a totally different episode, but well, this has been amazing, Monique. So appreciative of your generosity in terms of all the value and wisdom that you've shared. I think for me, one of the biggest takeaways is the way that you've led with your books, your speaking, the mediums, the podcasts, that the mediums that really allow people to get a feel for who you are and how you do things. I think that engenders a whole bunch of trust. It sounds like it has and does for you. And then you've taken that, the thought leadership, and it just kind of organically almost leads to raising capital. It doesn't sound like you have to do a whole lot of pounding the pavement for capital these days.
At this point, no. Blessedly, I remember at the beginning, you know, hearing somebody who's like, "Yeah, you put something out there, and a few hours it filled up," and I was like, "Oh my gosh!" Like, that's the getting the money. That's going to be the hard part. But when you're in it for a while, you realize, no, that's a good deal. We'll find money. It's just finding the right opportunities and deals that make sense. That's definitely the trickier part nowadays.
I lied. I'm going to ask you one more question. So what does life look like for Monique Howman about 5 years, let's say? On a business level, like within your business.
That's a great question. One of the things that I'm in the process of creating right now is a fund. So an online real estate investment trust, the Goddess Fund, focused on female investors with $1,000 minimum. That would be investing in majority female run real estate projects. So I see that as a way to really help democratize real estate investing and get a lot more women into the game, and also being supportive of female operators. And so that is a big part of my vision. And I can see that being, you know, multiple $1 billion enterprise once it gets growing.
Yeah,
and then I keep having a vision of having a TV show where I'm able to, like, we're able to inspire people in the millions to that this is a possibility for them. And just, I think a lot of the shows are just on flipping or whatever, but there's so little out there about investment.
Yeah.
And like real estate investment and buy and hold and what's possible. So I keep seeing, I'm not quite sure how that's going to happen, but I see that as part of my 5 year in the future vision as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to be launching this, I think probably Monday, September 7th or so. You have an event coming up here in the next couple weeks. Would you like to talk about that?
Yeah. So September 18th through 20th, there's the virtual Wealth Through Real Estate event. Sorry guys, this is women only. So we're having all women on the stage and just talking, like, how do you get started? How do you get in this game and do it in a feminine way? And also all of the different ways that people are investing in real estate and being successful and what is working right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm super, super excited. I have incredible women coming to share and speak, and it's just like the most badass group of women getting together for a 3-day virtual party. So join us. You can find out information on my website, reigoddesses.com, and there you can access, find tickets. It's only $97 to join us for the 3 days.
Oh, that's a no brainer. I'll mention that in the intro as well. I think that's like for our women listeners, that's got to happen for them if they can make it happen.
Yeah.
Especially for that price, but that just sounds invaluable and super inspiring. So, well, Monique, thank you so much. Oh, by the way, real quick, listeners can reach you at the same website.
REIGoddesses.com.
REIGoddesses.com.
We're at REIGoddesses on pretty much all the socials. So.
Okay, perfect. REIGoddesses.com. So, all right. Well, Monique, once again, thank you so much. This has been fantastic. I've been so lucky so far to have just rock star level guests on this show, and you are certainly that, and very inspiring to me and millions of women, both now and in the future, and a few of us men as well. So congratulations on all your success and everything that you're doing. We're fans over here, and we'll be watching all your new things that you are doing, and we'll continue to plug your events.
Thanks, Tate. I so appreciate you having me.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you so much. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. This has been another episode of The Apartment Guys, and we'll see you on the next one.
Thanks for listening to The Apartment Guys with Tate Seymour. Tate and friends are grateful to have you as a loyal listener. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe, rate, review, and share with friends on your Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or any other podcast platform. Also, check out Tate's YouTube channel for videos of many of these episodes and more. Until next time, take massive action steps and rock on.